Omagnat, Sivananda Shag, Ananjana Sahaya, Chakshur, Unmanitam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, because there are some nice devotees here who come for the first time, I think I'll explain things in a rather simple way today. Just like you heard, it's Lord Chaitanya's appearance day coming up. And then you may have heard that in August, usually we have Lord Krishna's appearance day. And then we also, at a different time of year, Lord Bharata's appearance day, Lord Vamadeva's appearance day, Lord Nrsingadeva's appearance day. So what's going on? All these lords. And these lords are not like the lord you find in England. Did you get knighted or something by the queen? I announced that you were Lord Adidev. And then you could sit, I guess, in Parliament or something. The House of Lords. But we're referring to God. So the question is, we have all these different names of God and also different manifestations or times that God appeared. So do we believe in any gods? Are we polytheistic? No, we're not. Because God, Krishna, Nrsimha, Chaitanya, is so interesting that he comes at different times, different places, and in Sanskrit that's called different yugas. But actually there's more than different yugas. He comes many times during a particular cycle. I mean, it's like myself, you know, because I'm not God, thank God. So, it's like myself. I come here sometimes, and I'm coming back in April. So if I can come many times, it's not two different people, I hope not. I don't have a multiple personality disorder. So I can come different places at different times. So why limit God? Why can't he come in different places and put on a different outfit each time? Right? Yeah. And they have different activities each time. It's like I'm going to Fiji. One of the activities I'm having is holy. Here the holy is so sedate, it's not even interesting. They throw some colors like that. But in Fiji we have these pitchcottings. Phew! And we really give people a squirt. Anyways. And I have special dhotis that are colored just for Fiji. So, anyway, so I just packed them in my bag last night. So we have different activities in different places, and so God can do the same thing. And he has different reasons for coming down too. There's some reasons mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, like Prachanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkrutam, and that means he comes to save the devotees, protect religious principles, like this, and annihilate challenged individuals. You understand what I mean? People who are not acting so nicely, who need a little correction. So, anyway, so God comes down in various places, in various times to do things, and also when he comes down to enjoy. Because all the different activities that are generally attributed to Krishna or God when he comes down, like protecting religious principles and annihilating or, let's say, dealing with challenging people, these can be done by God's energies or other devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. So really when God comes down, he comes to enjoy, but he has, at the same time, activities that are dealing with us, basically to attract us so that we can love God. Because we often hear the expression, one should love God, right? So it's important to understand who God is and what he looks like, what his activities are, so that you can love him. So in order for us to understand that, you have to come down and do something, right? Otherwise, it would be left up to our imagination. And usually when we imagine things, you know, let's say it's called anthropomorphic, and that means man fashions God in his own image. I mean, if I was just to imagine God, he'd probably have a cell phone, the latest computer, a guitar. You know, this would be my projection. Understanding of God. So God chose this. He doesn't need a cell phone. And as far as the guitar, I don't know. So in any case, In any case, he comes down to show us, and we get attracted. So this week we are celebrating one particular appearance of God, and this name that God has, because God has unlimited names. In the Vedic literatures, we have different lists of names of God. In fact, there's one famous list called the Vishnu Sahasranama, the thousand names of God. But he has many more names than that, but at least 1,000 primary that we understand in India. So each time he comes with a different name, which is really interesting. He's a very variegated chap, as we say. So, not to be disrespectful, but I have a close relationship. He's my friend. So yeah, he's everybody's friend. Krishna says in the Gita, what does he say? Fifth chapter, text 29. Anyone know the verse? Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamahasaram suvidana sarvabhutanam yadvamam shantimrichati. He says, one should understand that I am the enjoyer, the proprietor, of the lord of everything, but suvidam sarvabhutanam. I am the friend of everybody. So he's your friend. God is your friend. But don't disrespect him. So, this week we're celebrating the advent of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar for this particular Yuga. This is called Kali Yuga. And for those of you who don't know what Kali Yuga means, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam. Manda samanda mandiyo manda bhagya bhagyata kalaya dosha nahe vajanash jayko bhagyana. Anyway, so it's a very difficult age where people are quarreling. It's called the age of quarrel, the age of iron. And people are quarreling with each other for no reason whatsoever, like we've heard recently about shootings that are going on in different places. And people, you know, just don't have the mental capacity that they used to have. Even within the short span of my life, I've experienced the diminishing of people's mental capacity. Not my own, of course. But diminishing of the general mass of people's mental capacity, and also morality, ethics, and all across the board, we're talking about this. And let's say illicit activities, or what we would consider activities against the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga requires a very special avatar. Of course, the word avatar means descending. Someone who crosses down, and specifically God, who crosses down from the spiritual world. I mean, sometimes we have avatars that are devotees of God, or sons of God, who come down, their avatars come down from the spiritual world to carry out the function of teaching us about the personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya, he is God himself, not a regular devotee. Of course, God that's appearing as a devotee. And he comes down to teach us a very simple process for becoming God conscious. And what is that process? You know, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona Shaiva, Nishaiva, Nishaiva, Gati Ranyata, which means chanting God's names. In any culture, any religion, it's not sectarian. And it's really all you have to do, except avoid things that are not nice. You know, not nice things. You know, avoid intoxication, avoid illicit sex, avoid gambling, like this. And, you know, avoiding those things and chanting God's names, and then Kirtananda to Krishna, Mukta Sangam, Paramajat, then you can go back to the spiritual world. So, Krishna came for that particular purpose. And that's one of the external purposes, which we're going to talk about in a second. But he has his own purposes, too. As I mentioned before, God can have others do these things. He can have others teach about chanting. He can have others protect the devotees. But he comes himself because of his own internal purposes. And the internal purposes are called the esoteric purposes. Esoteric means something that's hidden, except for a select few who have the inside information. So right now, I'm going to give you the inside information, why Lord Chaitanya comes. Even though it's esoteric, and it hasn't been screened by the FBI or the CIA, I'm going to reveal it to you. So there are three basic reasons why, as far as God or Krishna's or Lord Chaitanya's internal reasons for coming. One reason is that he wants to understand the love of his devotees. Because Krishna is God, Lord Chaitanya is God, but normally he's not a devotee. I mean, obviously, normally God isn't a devotee. He's God. He's the worshipful. He's not the worshiper. So that's his normal position. So he's looking at his devotee, specifically his very best devotee, whose name is Srimati Radharani. Actually, it's interesting that his best devotee is a lady. Because that would inspire all you ladies. So also, she's Adishakti. There's a lot of ontology there, which I'm not going to discuss right now. So, but anyway, so he's looking at his best devotee and seeing several things. I want to experience what she's experiencing. Because she is in so much ecstasy. Not only she, but all of his devotees who are working under her jurisdiction. She's the boss of all the devotees. They're experiencing so much ecstasy. And Krishna's thinking, I want some of that too. And I want to understand what that ecstasy is. I want to experience, I'm basically giving three reasons here. Experience, understand, and enjoy. Three different things. I want to experience that. I want to enjoy it from my devotee's perspective. So in order to do that, he comes down as a devotee. And even though he's in a male form when he comes down, because God is male, Purusha, he has the mentality of Srimati Radharani. And he's experiencing from that particular perspective. So he's experiencing different rasas of relationship to himself. Let me give a little theology here. In this material world, we have different relationships, right? We may have a relationship being someone's friend or servant or parent or husband or wife relationship, or we may just be passively worshiping someone or appreciating someone, like with some big Bollywood star, right? You know Bollywood stars? Like I was with, where was I? Oh yeah, I was in Ujjain one year, and they were having an opening of a big temple there. And there was one Bollywood star, her name was Rani Mukherjee, was there. Some of you may have heard of her. And she was there, everybody was like, wow, there she is. And even though the governor was there and some other dignitaries, they ignored them because she was there. So that's a passive relationship where one just worships a great personality. So that's another, anyways, there's five different relationships that one can have. And these five different relationships or types of relationships are also here in this world between us. As I mentioned before, between us and a movie star, or between us and our husband and wife, or between us and our children, or between us and our friends, or between us and our boss at IBM, or whatever place you're working at, the research triangle, right? That's a servant relationship. Yes. At work, you have a dasya ras. True. You may not appreciate that, but it's true. So, those relationships are there because originally in the spiritual world, they're also relationships. See, we wouldn't have things in this world, variety in this world, unless there was variety in the origin of this world, which is the spiritual world, and ultimately God. Because you can't have more qualities in an emanation than are there in the source of the emanation. Usually have less qualities. So everything's there in the spiritual world. So those are the rasa relationships. And in the spiritual world, God is experiencing, enjoying those relationships. He doesn't just sit on the throne all day long, judging people. It's kind of boring. He has other people to do that. He has one nice assistant called Yamaraj who does that. He says, you're naughty, you're nice, you're naughty, you're nice, go to hell. Go to hell. He does that. I mean, that's his duty. God doesn't have to do that. He has people, you know, he has judges that work for him. He's enjoying his playing on his flute. Anyway, so he's enjoying these rasas. So he wants to fully experience these rasas from the perspective of the devotee. Because the devotee has these rasas. Rasa means mellow, taste, and sometimes understood as relationship, but that's not the precise thing. But it's a taste of a relationship. So he wants to experience those different tastes. And so he takes from the perspective of his worshiper. So that's Lord Chaitanya right there. So that's the esoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent. And so the exoteric, or that means the commonly understood reason, is Krishna Varam Teresa Krishna Sango Vanyosha Vashnavi Yavyaya Sangritanya Pariyaya Yajanti Yisamaitasa. He comes to teach the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which is called the Yuga Dharma. We mentioned that before. In each and every yuga or time period, there's a specific religious performance that's most applicable for the people there. Like in the first yuga, which is called the Satya Yuga, it was meditation. And then after that, in the Treta Yuga, it was big sacrifices. And after that, in Dwarpa Yuga, it's big temple worship, opulent temple worship. And then in Kali Yuga, it's chanting. So he came to teach that chanting, but the chanting, but the chanting gives us what his actual intention is. His two main, let's say, forces or ideas for us. And these are very much consistent with every religion in the world. And this is the Sanskrit for this, Jivadoya and Namaruchi. Two things. And I'll explain what that is. Jivadoya means compassion for all the living entities. And Namaruchi means a taste for, well, the holy name. So basically, let's say in a Western perspective, that would mean, like you see, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. In other words, feeling compassion for everyone. And then also, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. So it's the same thing. So he came to teach us this, and I'm going to give some examples of his teachings of these particular strategies or these particular goals that he had in his pastimes. So let's talk about Jivadoya first, because that's really interesting for me, because I happen to be a jiva, and I need some doya. Doya means mercy. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is a very wonderful verse that was written about Lord Chaitanya by Srila Rupa Goswami. Mo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaudita Senamaha. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the most munificent, merciful personality or manifestation of the Lord, because you're giving something freely that other people, that in other ages people had to work hard for. And that is pure love of God. And so here's some stories about that that really illustrate his intense or superlative compassion. And of course, one story is the famous story, Jagai and Madai. Some of you heard that story before. Anyway, there were two personalities, Jagai and Madai, who were born in a very high-class family. But through bad association, they became addicted to drinking moonshine, liquor for the living. Yeah, because in those days they didn't have liquor stores, so they had to make it themselves or buy it from others. You didn't know that? Nowadays they have liquor stores. Anyway, so they were very addicted, and they would do so many horrible things to people. They would attack ladies. It's like nowadays you have this Too movement, right? So in those days, they didn't have the Twitter. So they would attack ladies, and they would do so many horrendous things. And once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya sent two of his great devotees out to try to save him, because many of Lord Chaitanya's merciful activities were done by Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And these two devotees were named Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is the person who was appointed to be the acharya, or teacher by example, of the chanting of Krishna's name. So it was Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, who was expansion of Krishna, souls of Krishna. He sent them out to go door to door, not for book distribution, because they didn't have books then. Anyway, to ask people to chant Hare Krishna. Just like we have our Sankirtan that goes on now, isn't it? Where's Aditya? Anyway, so Aditya Narayan Prabhu, he takes the devotees out doing exactly what Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda were doing. So he's a great soul. He's carrying out Lord Chaitanya's mission. So anyway, so they would go door to door asking people to chant. They weren't asking for anything else. You just please chant. Chant Hare Krishna. And so anyway, so they went and they were knocking on people's doors. And finally, they see these two drunkards and, you know, whatever else they were, lying there in a stupor. And Lord Nityananda says, Haridas Thakur, let's go to these people. Because we have to prove that Lord Chaitanya is the most beneficent. In other words, in order to prove something, you've got to show by example. So if they just say, oh, Lord Chaitanya is the most beneficent, okay, sounds good, prove it. So we want to prove it. We want to glorify. So let's go to these most fallen whatever. And they went and said, please chant. And they got very angry and they were chased for some time. You know, and they were joking with each other. You know, the devotees were running away. And look what trouble you've gotten in the end, because you're just an avaduta, you know, just like this. And they went back to Lord Chaitanya. But later on, they approached these two again, to make it a long story short. They approached the two again, and one of them, Madai was his name, he hit Lord Nityananda with a pot, you know, with a clay pot, and he was bleeding from the clay pot. And Lord Nityananda, being very merciful too, because every incarnation of the Lord is merciful, in different ways. Lord Nityananda is also merciful, but it's a different type of mercy. Anyway. He's Patita Nashana. Lord Chaitanya is Patita Bhavana. Patita Bhavana means basically savior of the most fallen, and Patita Nashana means the opposite. Save them by capital punishment. Anyway, so Lord Nityananda is bleeding, and then Lord Chaitanya hears about this, and he gets so angry because he is very merciful, but if his devotee is attacked, he gets very angry. So he runs there, and he calls for one of his weapons, which is the chakra. We're going to be talking about the chakra in a few minutes. And he says, all right, ready for the guillotine, you know, the transcendental guillotine. And so they're scared, witless, and Lord Nityananda is begging, no. And because one of them, Jagai, actually stopped Madhu from hitting him a second time. He says, look, he stopped me. He stopped his brother from hitting me. We should give him. And Lord Chaitanya says, okay, I give him mercy. He can become a pure devotee because he stopped his brother from hitting Lord Nityananda. And then Madhu, he starts crying too. And Lord Nityananda says, please forgive him. And Madhu begs Lord Nityananda for forgiveness. And he gets forgiven too. And then he goes, both great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pure devotees of the Lord. And look at what they did before. Just forgiven, just like that. Another story is about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. One thing is this really amazing story is when Lord Chaitanya would go through the forest and there would be wild tigers, lions, and, you know, whatever other wild animals were there. He had them dancing and chanting, and he had deer and tigers kissing each other and embracing. And the tigers in Bengal are not your normal pussycats. I don't know if anyone's seen a Bengal tiger. They're as big as a cow, practically. I mean, really big. And so, yeah, that's compassion. That's mercy. And anyway, there's so many stories, we don't have the time to tell all the stories about, and you know, how he saved some atheists. There were some atheist people who were members of it. There were members of a religion, I'm not going to, I want to criticize any religion, but a religion that was atheist. I'll tell the story. And they really wanted to criticize Lord Chaitanya. So what they did is they offered Lord Chaitanya some food, and they said, this is spiritual food, Mahaprasad. And really what it was untouchable stuff, you know, that really shouldn't have been offered, obviously. And they gave it to Lord Chaitanya, were giving it to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya arranged that a big bird picked up the food, dropped it on the head of the chief person there, knocked him unconscious, and all of his disciples were thinking, he's going to die. And they went to Lord Chaitanya and they said to Lord Chaitanya, what do we do about our guru? And Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna. He said, here's the mantra. And he initiated them right there. And then they went to their guru. They became gurus right away. And they went to their guru and chanted Hare Krishna mantra in the ear of the ears of their guru. And he came back to consciousness, became a great devotee, and they all went back to Godhead. So that's really most merciful. So that's Jiva Doya. So let's talk about Namaruchi. Namaruchi is a little bit more complicated. Because in order to teach Namaruchi, Lord Chaitanya had to teach what not to do first. Because in accomplishing anything, or let's talk about becoming clean, because we're talking about making the heart clean. Let's say you want to clean your body, you also have to not throw dirt on yourself. You know, there's other things, certain things you have to do. Don't go in the mud. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, first of all, Namaruchi, how to get a taste for chanting the holy name. What not to do. And those things are what's called offenses. Because when you commit an offense against a great devotee or against anybody, in fact, then you lose your taste for chanting God's names or for worshiping God. And several stories illustrate that particular fact. One is there was a devotee, he was actually a devotee, named Devananda Pandit. And Devananda Pandit was expert in reciting the scriptures, the Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam. He would give Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. And so, as he was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, one other great devotee, Srivas Thakur, came upon him as he was giving Bhagavatam class, and he was listening to class. He got an ecstasy from hearing the class, and Devananda Pandit's disciples kicked him out of class. They just threw him out, even though he was genuinely experiencing ecstasy. And so, at that point, Devananda Pandit lost his ability to understand the Bhagavatam. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya walked by him when he was giving Bhagavatam class some time later, he yelled out, this, Devananda will never understand Bhagavatam, simply because he allowed something offensive to occur against the great devotee. But then later on, this Devananda rendered some service to another devotee, Virgeshwar Pandit, and rendered service again and begged forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. And then he was forgiven by Lord Chaitanya and he became a great devotee of the Lord. So there's many stories like that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, how one should be very careful to avoid offenses, particularly offenses against devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his disciples, such as Srila Rupa Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami and others, to elaborate on what not to do. In other words, we generally have 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord that we hear about. And then also we hear offenses against the deities, offenses against the holy Dham. So one has to be very careful. That's one instruction. And then Lord Chaitanya also taught us through the mouth of Haridas Thakur what's called Nama Tattva. Nama Tattva means basically the philosophy or truth or essential aspects of the name. And so in different literatures, like the Hari Nam Chin Tamani. In other literatures, we find the philosophical understanding of the holy name. Of course, Nam Chin Tamani, Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, Punishadan, the Jew, Mukta, Obinat, Mam Nam Namani. That the name is non different from Krishna. In the spiritual world, the name of something is the same as the object, especially when you're dealing with the name of God. You're the holy name. You hear this in practically every religion in the world. They talk about the holy name, glorifying the name, whatever religion you're a member of. And so the names of things in this world are different than the objects to which they refer. You know, typical example I probably always gave, and I give too, is when you say water, 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 you don't have water. But when you see say Krishna, Krishna is dancing on the tip of your tongue. So that's namatapa, non-different. Krishna is there. And finally, Lord Chaitanya taught us how to chant the positive aspects, and that's in his famous prayer known as the Shastika, which we gave a class on a few weeks ago, when I was here before. These are the 8 verses detailing the proper mood that one should have when chanting. Because that's very important. Because Krishna says in the Gita, Bhaktyumam Abhijanati, Yavanyas Chasmi, Tatvata. That means only by devotion can I be known. So if you chant just ritualistically or robotically, then there's not so much benefit. There's benefit. That's called namabhas. This is more namatapa. Let's say if you chant meaning something else, if you chant jokingly, also it's committing offenses if you do it deliberately, but anyway. So then there's some benefit, yes. You know, even if you were referring to something else, like there was one time there was someone in India who was attacked by a boar and he was saying, Haram! Means how horrible. And so that's like saying Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So there's benefit. But there's an infinitely more benefit by chanting with the right mood, the mood of devotion. And Lord Chaitanya teaches us in his Shikshashika, which I don't have time to read today, this mood of devotion. And then the last thing he teaches us about the holy name are the highest stages of ecstasy. Because as you chant the holy name, and this is all Lord Chaitanya taught us by example, either through his devotees or through himself, as you chant the holy name, then you go rise through different stages. You know, in the beginning, you're trying to get rid of these unwanted things, like your debts, no. Like lust, anger, greed. These are all impediments. Kamaisha, Krodesha, Vajrayana, you know, lust and greed, which are really blocking us from our true nature, blocking us from our happiness. So this is called an art of the virtue. So in the beginning, you get rid of, you work on getting rid of these things, controlling your impulses. That's what it means to be a human being. The difference between human beings and animals basically is one thing. We can control our impulses. And if you don't control your impulses, what's the difference between you and an animal? Right? I mean, we have so many impulses. Anger, lust, greed, so many different things, fear. So when you get to the point of having these different things under control, you know, the wild horses, sometimes described that the 5 senses are horses. When you have them under control, then you become steady in your progress in devotional. That's called Nishtha, of course. And then after a while, you get a taste. And then after having a taste, you become completely attached. Anyway, so whatever. And then Lord Chaitanya showed us those different stages by his own activities, particularly the stages of what we call bhava. Because one who is in love with God, then that love is not just, I love God, but it envelops the very self, the very soul, and manifests through the body too. Of course, the body is not what loves God, it's the soul. But the body manifests these different symptoms. And Lord Chaitanya had his followers and disciples very scientific way on these different symptoms of ecstasy. But Lord Chaitanya himself exhibited many symptoms of ecstasy that were inconceivable and undoable for us, obviously. I mean, for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much ecstasy. Of course, when the ecstasy he was exhibiting is something called Mahabhav, which is beyond our ability to exhibit, that sometimes he would just like run out in the middle of the night and jump into the ocean out of ecstasy. It's called transcendental madness. And his followers were looking all over for him. And they couldn't find him. And finally, they came upon a fisherman. This is also an exhibition of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And the fisherman was saying, I've caught a ghost. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because he said that every time I touch this ghost, I want to chant Hare Krishna. You know, he was at his fisherman out. And so he became a pure devotee. But they discovered it was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his whole physical body was elongated in symptoms of ecstasy. So by those particular, let's say, pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was showing us ecstasy, the topmost ecstasy. So in this way, he was showing us what Namaruchi is. So these are the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we want to really follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's necessary for us to develop these two qualities. Jiva Doi, to be compassionate to everybody, and Namaruchi, a taste for chanting, loving God, these go together. No one can declare himself or herself be spiritually advanced unless they manifest those two qualities. And it takes work to be compassionate, not to be judgmental with people, and to be willing to be patient. Because part of compassion is patience. Right? It's like parents, they're very compassionate or patient with their children, usually. And so that's part of love. So we need to develop those qualities, and we will please Lord Chaitanya and actually be part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And Lord Chaitanya's mission, as taught by His Divine Grace, H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, is to basically save the world. Not to convert everybody into a particular religion or get everybody wearing dhotis or saris, but to get everybody chanting the holy names of God in their own culture. Whether your name of God is Allah, Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Krishna, or Rama, or Nrsimha, or Varaha, that's okay. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nishtava, Nishtava, Nishtava. Got you on your tongue. So, thank you very much. So, should we take a question or two, or no? Yes, no. Yes, and then we want to show the film of the installation of the chakra. It's a very inspiring film. No questions? Yeah.
Well, it was more of a comment, but anyways, it was interesting that you're talking about he offended or take kind of that one person and he had to suffer. I find like, you know, even putting it aside, like, oh, you know, you offended this devotee, you know, this bad man, right. If you just hold hatred towards, like, anybody, I mean, you're going to get, you know, messed up in your thinking. You just won't be able to think straight, and you're going to have some problems.
Good, good, good. Wow, thank you very much. Because we can offend even an animal. Even an animal, because they're all living entities. Every single creature is a living entity. So we have to be careful how we deal. They're all spirit souls, different bodies, with feelings, just like you and I have feelings. So that's the right comment. Thank you very much. That was a wonderful comment. One more question.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for the class. I want to ask a question. You mentioned there are these two items, Jiva Doya and Namaruchi.
Yeah.
Is there also a third item of Vaishnava Sevana, or is that separate from this?
Well, that's part of the process of Namaruchi. That's part of the process of Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva. If serving the Vaishnavas is a part of getting a taste for the holy name, Vaishnava Seva. But the goal, that's a part of the process, but the goal is Jiva Doi and Namaruchi. goals. And also they're part of the process, but they're really the goal. Whereas Vaishnava Seva continues, but the goals are Jivadoya and Namaruchi. The goal. The goal and the means. Yeah, but Namaruchi you achieve through the means, and one of the means is Vaishnava Seva.
And even after we achieve the goal, the
Vaishnava. You continue chanting. Chanting is the means and the goal.
Right.
So these things continue. But Lord Chaitanya, these are the two main